First, though, today, how do I put this delicately? You're a bit of a hypochondriac. How hellish an experience has the internet been for you then? You know, I say this with a degree of empathy. You see, perhaps like many others, I suspect many others, I'm guilty of this dot-com diagnosis type stuff. You know, you got a sniffly nose, you've got the odd skin blemish, blurry vision, a suspected strained muscle perhaps. It doesn't matter what. I have this horrible habit these days of being straight on the internet. And look, frankly, across the spectrum of things, usually I'm pretty measured in my appraisal of stuff. But when it comes to health matters, that tends to all go out the window a little bit. And look, thanks to the internet, you know, I've presented at the GP convinced I was bitten by a rare southern hemisphere tick. Only to be told I'd probably been leaning up against something for the entirety of the day. You see, reasonable thought goes out the window. Is it embarrassing? You betcha. But I suspect there are others out there that, like me, that have stories like mine. You know, people that are victims of the endless amount of information on the internet and, you know, seemingly empowered now to diagnose our own health concerns. Do I know better? I mean, do I know it's dumb? Absolutely. Does it stop me taking a peek to make sure I'm not terminally ill? Of course not. Well, researchers from Campbell University in the US have had a look at the primary source of this armchair amateur sort of diagnosis, Wikipedia, and found that, how's this for a startling statistic? 90% of the medical entries on Wikipedia contain some factual inaccuracy. 90%. Researchers highlighted errors as far and as wide as wrong information for diagnosing high blood pressure to the appropriateness of antidepressants for children. A whole range of things. Interestingly, the research also revealed instances where drug companies had edited entries that highlighted potentially harmful side effects of some medication. So look, this isn't just all honest internet error. And as it turns out, according to the research, it's not just us lay people that are falling foul of the wiki diagnosis. A couple of studies over the course of the last 5 years have said that there are a number of practicing physicians that use Wikipedia as an information source in providing medical care. Now, it should be said that these results take in places that aren't Australia, but it's food for thought. And I ask you this simple question. Do you self-diagnose? I mean, are you prone to jumping on the net and Googling your symptoms or looking at something like Wikipedia? 8223 0000 is the number. And have you ever, like me, presented somewhat embarrassingly at a GP thinking you were struck down by some form of rare disease on the strength of your own internet searching? Patricia Montanaro is the state president of the AMA. Patricia, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
Would you characterise the propensity for people to self-diagnose these days via the internet? Is it a problem or is it encouraging people to actually turn up at a GP instead of ignoring symptoms?
It doesn't usually help people.
Yeah.
Look, the information is general information and not specific patient advice. That doesn't mean it doesn't serve a useful role, though.
What are the risks? I mean, what do you see when you're warning people about doing this? What do you tell them? How can they fall foul of bad information here?
What we do is we actually suggest that they have a look at a secure site and a site that's of a really reputable source, which can't actually be changed by people inputting on it. That gives you a much better chance that it is good information. In fact, I was listening to your story and I was speaking to some of the other doctors in the practice, and one of them said that one of their patients this morning, through having looked at on the internet, came in convinced that they had a bowel obstruction.
Right. Because what tends to happen, I don't know if it's human nature or the nature of the information out there, but it tends to lead to a fairly dramatic diagnosis in some instances. And I assume to some degree it's because some of these sites, and maybe even the reputable ones that you're talking about, Patricia, are always inclined to warn people, go along to the doctor just in case, which is probably quite reasonable. But unfortunately, I assume that leads to instances where people think, well, heck, this could be the worst case scenario.
You're quite right. The signs and symptoms or the history and examination that doctors take from patients is really quite complicated, and it takes doctors 6 years of medical school and then another 4 years of specialty training to become a GP. So the signs and symptoms can seem very much the same, and you can convince yourself that you have nearly everything. And many people come in really concerned that they've got a very serious illness.
You mentioned before that, you know, that there are secure sites out there that aren't liable to be edited by all and sundry. Do you know, what would be an example of something that is trustworthy?
Okay. Well, the first thing is that if you do have a serious symptom, it is better to go and have yourself looked at by your doctor, who will give you some information. But if you then wanted to follow up, that would be a reasonable thing. A good tip is something that ends in .gov or .org. As a general rule, many of the foundations that are very well recognised, like the Arthritis Foundation or the Alzheimer's Foundation, have very good information. The best information is that information that's been reviewed by specialist doctors, including GPs, health professionals and health writers, and that is kept up to date. So what it really does is it makes sure that the information is understandable and puts it in the right level of severity rather than making everyone really concerned. Would you like some suggested sites?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So, being parochial, the SA Health, sa.gov.au is a good site. The For Children, the Royal Children's Hospital site in Melbourne, has got some very good patient information. If Dermatology, DermNet from New Zealand. For Travellers, the CDC or the Centre for Disease Control in America has got very good travel advice. Mayo Clinic, mayoclinic.org is also very good. And I can't go past some of the mental health issues like Beyond Blue, yeah, Headspace, Black Dog Institute, Mood Gym.
It's a fractured market in that respect, isn't it, Patricia? And I wonder if that's why people are drawn to areas where it's just bulk information sources like Wikipedia, because it's all there conveniently in one place. Is there a need, in your view, perhaps for the medical fraternity to partner more with the internet and technology and acknowledge that you're not going to eradicate the practice of people jumping online to check out their symptoms and what might be wrong with them? And maybe there is in the market a space for a bit of a... obviously, you're not going to create a diagnostic tool that beats out the GP, but it might direct you there and provide sort of safe advice across the full spectrum of things?
It is very difficult to do what you've just said. We will be seeing more and more of it over the next 10 and 20 years. And when it is reliable, I think you're quite right that there might be a change in health practice. The question is specifically the advice that this person needs, and you often need to examine a person, which is really hard over the internet. So there is telehealth now, which is done in a non-face-to-face way, and often people then will give some good sites. But as I said, the best use of it is once you've been diagnosed, then you can go to the internet to research some more about it. It's very difficult without all of the training to be your own doctor.
Patricia Montanaro, good advice. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Patricia Montanaro is the state president of the AMA here in South Australia. We're, of course, talking about a practice that I'm willing to admit to partaking in, perhaps to an unhealthy degree, and that is the moment you have some sort of physical ailment of some description, you jump on the net, check out the symptoms, and often, or maybe from time to time, you might overreact, you might get some bad advice, you might think you are suffering from some sort of exotic disease that hasn't presented in anybody in the last 30 or 40 years. I only speak from personal experience. But it's not altogether uncommon. And, of course, we speak about it today because of research that's come out of the United States that says one of the really guilty sources of all this information, Wikipedia, which is tremendous on so many other fronts, actually has in 90% of the pages that contain things to do with medicine, factual errors. And the research says it's not just about honest mistakes that are being made. Because of the nature of Wikipedia, you actually get some drug companies that jump on and might edit out some of the side effects of medicines that you might look up, that might direct you in certain directions by talking about some of the symptoms of certain ailments. It's a very, very interesting space. And in Wikipedia itself is clearly a very different beast. Stilgherrian is our IT commentator, where we look forward to having a chat with. Stilgherrian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Will.
You have been guilty of an internet sort of dot-com diagnosis. Are you smarter than that? You're too smart for that, aren't you?
No. Of course, you know, the internet's right at your fingertips. So I looked something up once and it was a bit of a rash, you know, just on an arm and whatever. And, of course, once I started reading and I thought, oh, you know, I've got a bit of a fever. Oh, and headaches too. I've got a headache as well. And sure enough, I was convinced that this rash indicated something really, really nasty was happened. Got in to see a doctor is there, mate, that's the standard skin infection that anyone who's got primary school age kids knows that, you know, it's just been a hot, sweaty day and you've got a bit of a rash. He said it'll go away in 2 days, you know. So he came down, he said, you know, the next time I tried that, he just stopped me and he just said, still, demarcation issue here.
Yes.
You describe the symptoms to me, I'm the doctor, I do the diagnosis. Got that clear? And I thought, that's pretty good advice.
Yeah, that seems pretty reasonable. Take us through Wikipedia. I mean, it is particularly fallible, and that's got much to do, I guess, with how it works, how it's put together.
Yeah, look, the whole concept of Wikipedia is the encyclopedia that anyone can edit, and that is both its strength and weakness. So, for example, when Julia Gillard was no longer Prime Minister, her page on Wikipedia was updated within about 30 seconds.
Mm.
You know, because there's an active political community working around Wikipedia that makes sure that happens. And the same for anything where there's going to be a huge fan base. So, sadly, it's things like, you know, really popular TV shows will be updated as soon as a character gets killed off or whatever. What happens, though, with areas like medicine is that, you know, you don't necessarily have a community of medical types keeping track of the pages about medicine, maybe down in the really specialist areas. So what will happen is, let's say that there's some, HIV/AIDS research, because there's so much happening in that field and there's a big solid community around the world dedicated to making sure there's good information about that. Same with cancer, same with, well, you know, any really high profile thing. I'll make sure that the latest research is updated within their community. But when you get a more general page, let's say rabies, you know?
Yes.
I'm not a doctor, so I'm not sure, but there's probably not a lot has changed about our understanding and treatment of rabies. It's not a common disease, you know, here in Australia. And therefore, is anyone actually paying attention to that? And that means that should someone sneak in, as you said earlier in the conversation, a drug company just wishing to subtly change the details of their drugs listing just to, you know, play down some of the more serious side effects or to indicate that there's an off-label treatment for something else, that may not necessarily be picked up. And in areas that aren't looked at, there have been hoaxes and vandalism, really, on Wikipedia that have lasted for years before anyone has actually noticed.
Stilgherrian, I put the question to Patricia Montanaro from the AMA about whether there needs to be a more concerted effort from the medical fraternity to occupy that space that's currently, I guess, by default being occupied by a Wikipedia or some of these other tools that are out there, whether there needs to be something more sponsored in a sense, I guess. And she talked about the difficulties of that. But in your opinion, as someone who knows, you know, the role of the internet as the information source for people and being aware of the weaknesses of it, do you think that the medical side of things has lagged behind a bit in terms of partnering with that as an information source?
I think they have, and I can actually speak to this a little bit from the medical side, from the community medicine side, because back in the 1990s, for a period, I was actually on the board of the AIDS Council of South Australia, where community education was a big part of what I was helping them with there. And the medical profession is both technologically conservative. You still have a lot of older GPs refusing to use computers and wanting to do everything on pads of paper and so on, writing prescriptions by hand and all of that. And you also have a sense of it being a closed shop. And, you know, we are doctors, we know best kind of attitude sometimes comes through. So even though Dr. Montanaro was saying the right things, go to a trusted source for your information, that's sort of still, you know, we are doctors, you come to us.
Mm.
The problem is the community is out there using Wikipedia because, you know, they search on Google, say, and it's quite often the Wikipedia entry will be the first thing that comes up, simply because Wikipedia is so popular. So wearing a kind of, you know, decade and a half old community sort of health hat, I'm reminded, no, you need to go to where the people are, go to where the community is. So, you know, I'm thinking that the medical fraternity really needs to spend a bit more time. If they're finding problems in Wikipedia entries, well, there's an edit button right there. Fix it.
Yeah.
Right on the spot.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Still, Garen, always great speaking to you. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure, Will.
Still, Garen is our IT commentator. We go to an all matters security and all sorts of things with regard to the wonderful world of the internet. And, of course, today we're talking about this business of self-diagnosing. I've admitted I do it. I suspect most of us probably do that go to the internet for information sources. And there is and appears to be something of a gap in terms of the information available that is trusted, that you can trust as a user. So 8223 0000 the number, folks. Looking forward to hearing some of your stories, perhaps where you've fallen foul of the idea of the. I'm trying to come up with a catchy phrase for it. I'm thinking the .com diagnosis, something like that, where you jump online, then you go to the doctor and. Look, we've all done it, I'm sure. Suddenly you think you're the expert and you're telling them, well, hang on, have you thought about this? Have you looked at that more closely? Are you sure it's not presenting and then you rattle off some Latin nut? Is it only me that goes to that extent? Tell us your story. 8223 0000 is the number, folks, or you can go to the 5AA Facebook page.